No doubt you have heard about the electric vehicle mandate and all of the ridiculousness that goes along with it. Well, now there's a similar concept coming down the tracks, and it is going to be something of a train wreck. Literally. Let me explain. I am David Arley Gates, and welcome to Created to Reign, a production of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. The Cornwall Alliance is a ministry dedicated to helping fulfill the mandate God gave mankind in Genesis 1:28 to subdue and rule the earth in a way that enhances its fruitfulness, its beauty, and its safety for the glory of God and for the benefit of our neighbors. So as we have noted before, each state must follow either the Environmental Protection Agency's environmental standards, or they can choose to follow the more stringent environmental standards set by the state of California's Air Resources Board. It is an either-or proposition. No other state can make up its own rules, even if they are more stringent than those established by the EPA. So pick one. Choose the EPA standards or the California standards. To date, 17 states have opted to follow California into its more stringent electric vehicle mandate. Back in 2022, the California Air Resources Board codified the light-duty vehicle goals established by Governor Newsom in Executive Order N-79-20, also known as the Advanced Clean Cars 2 Rule. That rule brought us the requirement that 100% of all new cars, pickup trucks, and SUVs must be zero-emission vehicles by 2035. This, of course, is designed to stave off disasters that alarmists believe will plague us due to global warming. In many states, the mandate has been extended to all buses, including school buses and public transportation. But back in March of this year, the Biden administration unveiled its National Zero-Emission Freight Corridor Strategy, whose goal is to deploy charging and hydrogen fueling infrastructure to lead the medium and heavy-duty vehicle market to accomplish net-zero goals. That plan is to have at least 30% of new trucks be zero-emission vehicles by 2030 and 100% by 2040. That is a decade sooner than the transition plan for light-duty cars and trucks. And we can talk about the ridiculousness of putting heavy batteries on board tractor trailers that crisscross our nation's highways every day. But there is another shoe that has to drop, and it just did. What about the freight trains that traverse our nation's railroad network? If everything else that is moving must become net zero, doesn't it seem reasonable, or at least equally irrational, that freight trains must also become net zero? Well, of course. As of March, enter California's proposal to ban diesel trains. Starting in 2030, half of all new trains that enter service must be zero emission, and by 2035, all new trains must be zero emission. So let's recap. On January 1st, 2035, one half of all new cars and light trucks sold will be zero-emission vehicles. Approximately two-thirds of all new medium and heavy-duty trucks will be zero-emission vehicles. But 100% of all new trains will be zero-emission. Now, as a rail fan, I should know that virtually every train you see on the rails today runs on an electric engine. Even diesel trains are really called diesel electrics because they use diesel fuel to generate electricity that runs an onboard electric generator. But it is these engines that the state of California seeks to eliminate from use and send them the way of their predecessor, the steam engine. The California rule only gets more stringent and more onerous as one reads the fine print. Another portion of the rule requires that beginning in 2030, no locomotive older than 23 years may operate in the state. Thus, all locomotives built before 2008 must be retired. Note that in 2014, the average age of the North American locomotive fleet was about 24.1 years. 7 years later, in 2021, the average age was 29.2 years, or more than 5 years older than it was in 2014, with a median age of 24.8 years. What this means is that over half of the current fleet would have to be scrapped if the 23-year rule were invoked today. But wait, why would this affect states other than California? Well, locomotives regularly cross state borders such that railways would be forced to update their entire fleet to guarantee compliance with California and other states that adopt California's rule. This would put an undue burden on the short-haul railways that usually lease older locomotives from the larger Class 1 railroads. Likely, these short-haul railways would simply go out of business, leaving a gap in the transportation of goods and raw materials from remote areas of our nation. So how will this transition from diesel to electrified railroads be accomplished? To guarantee all trains are electric with no contribution of energy from any sources derived from oil or gas, the electricity would have to be supplied to the locomotive. One solution would be to use third rail technology, as is used in subways, such as the Washington, D.C. Metro. However, since rail lines are frequently crossed by both vehicles and pedestrians, you can easily see how driving or walking across an electrified third rail would be deadly. Thus, this solution is out. How about overhead electrification, as it serves very well the Amtrak Northeast Corridor, of which President Biden is so fond? That would work, but it would be prohibitively cost expensive, as the United States has the largest rail transport network of any country in the world. Electrification of most of the existing 160,000 miles of track is simply not feasible. So I think you can see where this is headed. If we are putting batteries in cars and batteries in trucks, why not batteries in trains? Just clear out the diesel generator and put a big lithium battery in its place. What is the problem with that? Well, remember what we've learned from buses and trucks. Battery power doesn't hold up well in the cold or up inclines, as cold weather and steep mountain passes currently reduce the range of electric trucks by half. This poses more of a problem for trains, since they pull extremely heavy loads and are extremely heavy to begin with. Of course, this plan will cost billions of dollars to implement. So who will pay that bill? Yes, you the taxpayer and you the consumer will be on the hook for this costly enterprise. But the California proposal will further require all railroads that operate in California to set aside almost $1 billion each, starting in 2026, to fund this transition to battery-powered trains. These companies would be required to deposit funds based on their California emissions into a trust account, which would further be used to fund this transition. We might ask, how many battery-powered trains are currently in service, and how are the prototypes for trains running on battery power faring in current tests and evaluations? Well, as it turns out, the technology for a completely battery-powered train currently does not exist. Thus, the mandate is to convert our rail network to a technology that has not yet been developed. I know, there's an old saying, if you legislate it, it will happen. Sure it will. The take-home message of all this is that the alarmists are not really interested in saving the planet. Why? The National Clean Air Act standard for trains guarantees that diesel locomotives are not contributing to health concerns or deteriorating air quality. Railroads account for only about 2% of the greenhouse gas emissions from the United States transportation sector. Moreover, rail lines in the United States can move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on just 1 gallon of diesel fuel. 1 gallon. Even aging locomotives have been upgraded numerous times over their life to make them cleaner and more efficient. And as these locomotives age, many are relegated to switching duties in rail yards where trains are assembled and sorted. Not all locomotives are used to transport goods thousands of miles. In addition, approximately 1.6 billion tons of freight are moved by diesel locomotives across our nation's rail network each year, amounting to the transportation of about 40% of all United States goods. Consequently, the cost of most goods and materials will increase dramatically. But of course, you already knew that was the plan, or at least the byproduct, of going to net zero. So once again, the net zero alarmists have gone off the rails. Thank you for listening to Created to Reign. And as our way of saying thank you, when you make a 100% tax-deductible donation of any amount and request it, we'll gladly send you a free copy of our new book, Climate and Energy, The Case for Realism, As Long as Our Supply Lasts. You can do that at www.cornwallalliance.org/donate. So until next time, I am David Arley Gates, and may God richly bless you.